This is take two, side one, of a walk around the perimeters of Pukekura and Brooklands Park on the 21st of November, 1999. Right, now we've come almost out at up John Street and Junction Road. You can hear the traffic just ahead of us there. We're actually not going out into that area because it's not necessary. Originally, when I put this path through from Bliss Street to here, to do the circuit down the other side of the park, you see the significance of that track. It meant that you could come right up one side of the valley of Pukekura and Brooklyn and down the other and not cross over. To do that, before I put that track in, you'd had to come up from the bowl and cross over and just come up the one track up John Street here. So that gave the circuit. But what has to happen if you go up ahead here to get back onto the track on the other side, the original track, you have to come up to the tennis courts. And has anybody seen any sign of habitation so far? Not a sign. If you had to go up there, then you see houses up to your left and across Junction Road and up John Street and the tennis court. So more recently, I got permission to put this little 200 or 300 metre track through here. Not actually finalised yet, it's not completed yet, but again it's done with PD workers. And that allows you to come right up to this point. Now we've done 5 kilometres. I thought the whole walk was 5 kilometres, but we're only halfway. Never mind, it's all downhill from here. Some of it anyway. But by this little circuit, then we can link up and we don't see any civilization at all. We link up with the original track down through from up John Street down to Pukekura. Right, now we've come to the furthest point from Pukekura Park. If you don't want to see houses, don't look to the left. But through the trees there, an overstory of Koikoi, Kitoki and Tawa, and some Puri probably. Interesting sort of arrangement of trees there. You can just see the buildings of the tennis court and so on. And this is from whence the original path starts. And we are now going to take the original path down, although we had to modify it in a few places. But this path down to Pukekura Park already existed. And the significance of those two little paths we've just come along makes it so that we can make a loop out of it instead of having to go from here back down the same path. I'd have to say that it was a tremendous amount of satisfaction to have that path, that last little bit, put in, because it was something I always wanted to do while I was curator, but never had the resources to do it. And it wasn't until I was in retirement that I was able to go back and finish a job which I felt should be done for the to establish that possibility in Pukekura Park, you know, the natural features of being able to walk so far and yet not be intruded upon by habitation and such like. So it's all there now, and that's wonderful. So, yes, and it's just over 5 kilometres, almost 4, 5.5. So now we return via the old original track. Now, just to get our orientation again, this is the little bridge which takes you across to the Highland School and that new path behind the Highland School through the old Macrocarpa plantation. And I just wanted again to point out these trees above us. Here we have Puruwi immediately above us, and back there Koikoi, back there, and in front of us is Tawa. And again, if you look up towards Somerset Street through there, you'll notice that, you know, big trunks of Puruwi and Koikoi and that, but no great height because they're not trees that grow very high. The next pitch is down to the bridge which crosses from the giant Puruwi from Brooklyn across to the Miss Street track. Now we've come back to that intersection in the Maranui Gully where the track from the Big Koori up in Brooklyn comes down from our left. We've just come down from up John Street, tennis court area, looking across the bridge. Down to the left is the Bowl of Brooklyn, up to the right is the Miss Street track up which we went from this point previously. So you'll understand that the Upton Street area previously, you would have had to come across that bridge to this side and gone up to the tennis courts here, then to come back, you'd have had to come back the same way here. So that circuit was not possible at that time. Now, this is very significant, this area, because we think of this as Brooklands, but in actual fact, it was the List property, even on this side of this western side of the stream. And if you look up to the left towards where we're going to go, towards the Big Koori, you'll see there are terraces. And those were all cultivated terraces at one time with lovely rhododendrons and special plants, because List had a very, very wonderful garden. Looking back across the stream, I mentioned to you when we got up to List Street, all that area to the right there was still, if you go into that part of the bush, you'll find paths, and quite an ornate system of paths, which was part of the List estate. So we're now going up the rise here, up to the level upon which the Brooklyn Park is established. Just to mention names here, many people will still remember George Huffman as a person very knowledgeable on rhododendrons, and he had a nursery up Carrington Street in later years. George Huffman was the last gardener of the on the List estate. So he had a lot of his early time on this land here. Right, now we're standing beside the Big Koori in Brooklands Park, just beside the main driveway which goes through Brooklands Park. And there's a story I need to tell you here which relates to the List property. As I understand it, the boundary between Newton King's property, in which the Koori actually stands, and the List property was a relatively undefined line at the edge of that plateau. I think it would be probably a line which comes along behind the properties on Somerset Street. Anyway, it's just on that eastern side of the Koori. Now, one of the great events, horticultural events in years gone by, was when List, and that was private property over the Maranui, and Brooklands Park, which was private property Newton King's, when those two gardens were open to the public. And the great thing to do was to walk up either one side and do the circuit walk, rather similar to what we've done, but a little bit shorter, and incorporate in it the race course, which at that stage had wonderful gardens too. So in one walk, people got four beautiful gardens, and that was the link between the four of them. The story goes that on other occasions, when List had private visitors to his property, he used to bring them up this route that we've come up, that steep path, and you know, that must have been List property because you saw the terraces there. And he used to bring them up and claim that this Koori was in his property. It was his Koori. He came up to show them his Koori. And of course, Newton King was doing the same thing. So there's a little bit of friendly rivalry going on here. Now, from here, I want to take you on the nature walk, which goes off on the other side of that main drive through Brooklands Park. But before I do that, there is a fantastic pine tree over the back here, just a few metres away. And it's probably the biggest diameter tree you'd see, certainly in this part of Taranaki. It might not be as big as Tunimahuta up in Northland, but it's a massive pine trunk. So We just see that little deviation through the bush here, and then we come in at the Kaimata Street entrance to Brooklands Park. So here we are, we're on the main drive through Brooklands Park again, just inside the Kaimata Street entrance, and we're going off on what is called the Nature Trail, or part of the Nature Trail, which goes off roughly southwesterly, parallel with Kaimata Street. We've just been admiring some of the great pines. The most easterly of this row of pines is one of the biggest diametered trunks that one will see of any tree in this part of New Zealand anyway. And the row extends right across into the Kaimata Street area. Questionable how old they are, but the Brooklands was established in 1841 as a private residence, and these pines would have been planted probably within 20 or 30 years of that establishment, maybe even earlier, not known. For the sake of the tape, I forgot to put the tape on a couple of minutes ago. We're about halfway along Kaimata Street, and I've just made reference to another lovely glade of king ferns, which are not as extensive as the Pukekura one, but similarly very dense and attractive. We're not quite sure which one came first, the Pukekura or the Brooklands one. But they're both very significant stands of king ferns. Now, around the nature trail, we are on the nature trail, remember, you'll come across these big coasts, about half a metre tall, with numbers on them, and they are what are called stations on the nature trail. In other words, there was a booklet prepared for this nature trail. It's now not available, but we're thinking of redoing it. And at each one of these stations, you could stop, and it would give a description of something in this neighbourhood which was special, and it has special educational merit for schools and parties that want to know a little bit about history or the plants that are, you know, in a given area. So that's the origin of those posts. We're now standing at number 3 beneath a very, very big, another very big Pinus radiata, which is a solitary tree. And about 20 years ago, we reckon that this one was just about on its last year. It's still going strong. And the tree with a massive spread. And immediately adjoining it is a wonderful avenue of Cupressus wilsoniana, which must again have been put in as a hedgerow in early days. And because it's been planted so densely, they've gone all gone up, and the nature trail actually goes right along that line of tree. Now, I've stopped in this area because this is what is called the Ambush Gully part of Brooklands Park. When I came into the department about 1964-65, it again was a plantation of macrocarpas, which were felled, and in its place, a collection of maples in particular. Various maples here. These two big trees over the side here are the snakebark maples, which in their young stages have very attractive bark. And you can see it still on some of the younger branches up near the top. But a range of maples well beyond that. And somebody's asking about these foreground plants. I think these are Deutzia, one of the Deutzia genus. Now, Ambush Gully, why Ambush Gully? In the days of the Brooklands Estate, which was just above us on the right there to the east, this must have been the orchard, this valley, a very protected and, you can understand how very desirable to have it as an orchard. And in the subsequent land wars of the 60s, some soldiers came down here to have a feed of peaches, because remember, a lot of the settlers had retired into New Plymouth for protection, and there was only the militia outside of the, or the military people outside of the town enclosure, and a couple of guys must have wanted to see the pictures, came down here and got ambushed with knives. I think one of them was shot. I think one of them lost his life as a result of that excursion. Sorry? Right, now we've just got to a point behind the zoo, on the what would be the western side of the zoo. We're heading down towards Brooklands Drive corner, and you'll notice various openings there of where, in that particular one that we've just come through behind the zoo, there's a collection of rather uncommon native plants, some of them quite uncommon, and now we're entering an unusual plantation of native trees, many species of native trees, the first one of which will be totaras. But subsequently we come to pure standard kauri, rimu, or a big range of native trees, and in some places they're mixed. And this is the result of Thomas Horton planting out what must have been a paddock in those days with native trees. And you won't notice it unless you really look for it, but they're all in rows. They're planted in rows 8 feet apart and 6 feet between the trees. And as we go along, if you look sort of east-west, we're travelling roughly north, you will see they're all planted out in rows, nursery rows. So it's a really unique stand, and it's very unique in terms of the future when all these things get up into massive trees. Not got a great deal of hope for some of the things like the rimu and totara, which seem to have a massive multiple stems. But further along, when we get into the pure kauris and that, even some of those are destined to fall to pieces because of double headers, double stems, double leaders, as they call it. They will ultimately fall to bits, but there will be a wonderful stand of survivors in hundreds of years to come. So a really unique stand of native trees planted in a very unusual and unorthodox way. Right, now we've come out at the Brooklands Road, Brooklands Drive intersection, and there we have our first view of a house. And we have travelled, what was it, Molly? 7.3 kilometres this day. I didn't even look at my watch. I don't really know about the time, because I'll be in trouble. But we're obliged now, if we want to go back to Pukekura Park and doing the perimeter track, we're obliged to come out here. But it would have been possible to go down through the bowl and go down on the western side of the Pukekura watercourse down there and have not seen any houses at all. So, but I wanted to, as much as possible, do the perimeter walk. Now, it is possible here, from here, this intersection, to walk out onto Brooklands Road there and enter Hughes Walk, and just as you go into the trees there is a little a small walk which goes parallel with Brooklands Road and ultimately Victoria Road. And that would take you ultimately right down to the children's playground. That would be completing the perimeter completely, but we'll short circuit a little bit. We'll go down into Goodwin Dell, which is probably still looking pretty good, and then we'll pick up Hughes Walk on the at the southern end of the main lane. Any questions at this stage? Because it's going to be a scamper from here on. Anyway, how many have we got? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15, about 16 people we started with. 30. Oh, I mean, it's incredible that 15, 16, because after all, I forecast 5Ks and a couple of hours, wasn't it? Now we're 4 hours later, 3 hours later.
I was scared to leave in case I got lost on the wrong
way. I see. Had its advantages then.
George, we could go up see them go out to Vogeltown Park.
Yeah, from this point, there are some alternatives, aren't there?
Trouble with possums in the park?
Yeah. No, sorry, I didn't have the tape running. This is Goodwin Dell, which commemorates Jack Goodwin, who was superintendent from about 1947, I think, was to 1977. And he was instrumental in keeping these sort of areas open. Again, this was probably Macrocarpus, this lovely dell, and he resisted the temptation to plant such areas up. Another classic example is the children's playground and the hatchery lawn. He kept them open and put smaller plants in them so that you could stand back and appreciate the surroundings. Because you can't get back and look at trees when you don't really sense their great significance. And at the time, which would have been the 50s, he was able to get access to these wonderful deciduous azaleas, azalea mollises they're called, from the Stead collection in Christchurch. At that stage, they were quite uncommon. And so this dell, Goodwin Dell on this side of the road, and Trippy King Dell on the other side of the road, were planted featuring these lovely azaleas, which are just past their best now, but they follow the rhododendrons, generally speaking, a little bit later than the rhododendrons. Very spectacular colours through the orange and yellow range. We're now down at the main water source for the Pukekura Park Lakes. This is a water source that comes in from across Brooklands Road from Trevor King Dell and before that Vogeltown Park. It carries much more water than the other arm, which comes down from the bowl of Brooklands from the Maranui Gully where we've just been. And it's of significance that in the earliest days, when the park was being developed, there are photographs taken from up here. Again, there's hardly any vegetation. These redwood trees in front of us didn't exist. And this stream forked here. We're standing on the culvert under which the water travels. And now it goes sort of to the right, down towards the main lake. But in those days, there was a fork which went round to the left here. And they were both quite strong streams at that time. However, the water flow doesn't justify the two water courses, except when it floods, of course. And so this left-hand one, which we're walking beside down on the western side of the park, was filled in some years ago and planted up with moisture-loving plants. Well, we've now just come and reached the southern end of the main lake in Pukekura Park on the western side. And that means that we're joining the Hare's Walk, which extends from the intersection of Brooklands Drive and Brooklands Road down almost at a few metres above lake level. It's almost perfectly level. I can assure everybody that it's not downhill from here on, but it's dead level because it was surveyed by a very clever surveyor, Skinner, who did the survey of this track, and it was subsequently called Hare's Walk. Robert Clinton Hughes being the person who was instrumental in the setting aside of this valley as a reserve in the early days in 1875-76. You'd be interested to know that when the tramway system was being extended in New Plymouth, it was proposed that this Hughes Walk would have been, because it was so beautifully level and gave access to Vogeltown, that it would be the tram route up to Vogeltown from New Plymouth. That was a very contentious issue, of course. Would have transformed the tranquility of Pukekura Park, certainly, had it gone ahead.
Well, there's still people, isn't there, that are advocating that.
Oh, if they want to get a roadway through.
You know, to go sort of have a round.
Yeah, we have to be. See, what people don't realise is the path is so park is so narrow. I mean, you can see the light through there. And you can virtually see the light through there. Now, if you put a roadway on either side, you have to wipe out a whole lot of vegetation. And then, as we saw up at the top end there, as soon as you take something out, everything there, it becomes very vulnerable. And so you're not just taking out the width of the pathway.
And you think it would collapse down into the lake anyway.
And it would change its character very much, yeah. Well, we've now got to the waterfall on his walk, and as we cross over towards the bandstand, we're walking over the dam that was one of the first activities to change the nature of this valley after it was set aside in, as a reserve in 1876. They very quickly got to work and constructed this dam across which we're walking, which of course created the main lake in the park and changed its character forever. In terms of the walk, that's really as far as we're going. We could have carried on, as I pointed out earlier, down the perimeter towards Victoria Road, Auckland Road, Victoria Road, and finished up at the children's playground. But those really are areas which are familiar to most people, and I wanted to do something a little bit different, so there's no point in extending that. But Molly has just invited everybody to a cup of tea at the tea house with their typical hospitality. So that will complete the walk in.
So we'll follow the official bugger that asked
you. Oh yes, we better record the distance when we get to the tea house.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, righto. We're back at the kiosk and the pedometer, which I presume it's called, has recorded 9 kilometres. Well, if we walk back to the car park where we started, it would be 9 kilometres. And we have been going, 3.5 hours, is it? So my calculations taken from measuring a map weren't very good, were they? either in time or distance, so I won't get any brownie points for that. But anyway, it was a lovely afternoon. It was very pleasant.
Thank you very much. Mm. Very important.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you very much.
And I did go on parts that I had never been before, and I thought I knew the
path. Yeah. Oh, well, that's...
Some places I felt lost. Yes,
it would be very easy to have that sensation. And that's... Do you realise that's one of the significant parts about Pukekura Park? You're never more than a few hundred metres from civilisation, but the... effect it has on people, they think, my God, I could get lost here. Yeah. And that is what you experience when you go into the bush.
Yes.
I could get lost here. And in this little part, people can still get that sensation.
Yeah. Right.
And that's one of the magics of it. And you know, for that reason, sort of overdoing signposting and that sort of thing, probably not the best thing. But that's a great, great feature. Okay, so that completes our recording of this perimeter walk.
Would you like a cup of